I appreciate everybody, in this case, not so much coming out, but tuning in, I guess, or zooming in. We know that it is my mother's Yahrzeit. You know, that's the way Yahrzeits work. They're the same time every year, so they're always on Hanukkah. And therefore, they always compete with family obligations and other celebrations, all of which are very much appropriate for the special character of the day. So when people tune in or zoom in or come, we hope to be back in person next year, Mirtz Hashem. It'll be a good sign for the world. So it's very much appreciated. This is certainly a kavod for my mother. And this is the 10th Yahrzeit. So I just want to welcome and express appreciation for everyone. The fact that we are on Zoom in a way exemplifies the title. The title is External Light and Inner Illumination, Hanukkah Paradigms for Coping with Adversity and Challenges. But it's an exemplification of the fact that notwithstanding the difficulties that we've all encountered that have disrupted our personal lives and our Avodas Hashem, this is something I want to speak about a lot this evening, in very significant ways, that there are methods to cope and to channel, you know, resources to overcome formidable hurdles and obstacles. And basically my theme for the evening is to suggest that the holiday of Hanukkah is particularly about that theme and that motif, and that certain of its halachos really highlight this idea of coping with crisis and adversity. And therefore, even as we celebrate, we you know, draw inspiration from the holiday in which this takes place. So I also just want to acknowledge the presence of some family members, mishpacha, for whom this is a very poignant day. The Yahrzeit was last night and today, but it's my mother's 10th Yahrzeit, I'd say, and it's a difficult time. But also it was very striking, I think, for me and for all of us to really very much a testament 10 years after the fact how vibrant and meaningful my mother's presence continues to be, her Dmus Dyukna, something which I frankly would have anticipated, but it's still very visceral, even the way that it is, and that particularly in times of abnormality, crisis, things that, you know, challenge our humor, even our sanity, having role models, people to look up to that you respect and you have, you know, love and affection for, and whose own response and posture to adversity kind of as a testament to their dignity, that's kind of becomes a very important source for resilience and encouragement. So the fact that the 10th also takes place, you know, at a time of difficulty, and of course, as it always does, I always think hashgacha-wise, on Hanukkah is very meaningful to me, and I know that it's very meaningful to the rest of the family as well. I want to acknowledge my father, who isn't listening now because the technology is a little bit too formidable for him. Probably not, but he's not so interested in mastering it. But he will be listening, as he told me, to the tape tomorrow, and I can expect you know, a reaction. So I also want to just, of course, acknowledge my father, and of course his devotion to my mother, something that is very extraordinary and continues to be so much, again, a part of the reality of his existence. And finally, before I begin, I want to thank Avraham, who always, oh, there he is in the box. You got the Makoros?
Yeah, I sent out the link to it in the chat here.
Okay, terrific. So this is just, you know, we did this last minute, you know, intentionally, of course, because we're always so well organized, just to highlight the fact that Avraham's a very good sport, and somebody who whose assistance, you know, is always given in a very gracious and generous way. And he always helps me with the Makoros. This way he's helping in a different way. They won't be as organized as they usually are, but in general, he, you know, smooths over a lot of things, and he does it with love, and it's very much appreciated. Okay, so let me begin. The topic that I want to speak of this evening is the idea of hadlaka bizman ha-sakana, the lighting of the Neros Chanukah at a time of crisis and danger. Typically, we light outside. By the way, I want to just make one other comment. I do want to thank Fifth Avenue Synagogue, which is also together with the yeshiva. I see Rabbi Petters here. He was always very helpful in advertising and co-sponsoring the shiur. And this year, Fifth Avenue Synagogue, as they have sometimes in the past, are co-sponsoring as well, and all the help from SOI, etc. So typically, we accomplish the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah b'chutz, outside. And certainly, ideally, that is, as we'll discuss in a moment, the way that it is, maximally performed. And obviously, as we will discuss, there's a component, that certainly cannot be replicated, when you light the candles inside. And the fact that there are occasions where you have to relocate from the typical mandated, preferred hadlaka and shift to your inner sanctum, to your fortress, to your bias, is a significant adjustment of the ideal halakha, but one that in the end of the day secures the integrity and the indispensability of the mitzvah. And maybe, this is what we will explore in the little time that we have, actually ends up creating an alternative ideal, or if not ideal, an alternative model which becomes l'chatchila in its circumstances. So that even as we yearn to revisit the objective, preferable l'chatchila hadlaka b'chutz, that the hadlaka b'fnim, at least according to some perspectives, which I want to try to develop, becomes a kind of a temporary l'chatchila, and one which provides opportunities as well. And clearly, I'm partly motivated to discuss this topic. I think it is objectively a fascinating question, both in Hilchos Chanukah per se, in terms of its hashkafic overtones, significance, certainly true. But certainly I'm this year motivated to discuss this particular topic because it's eerily resonant and suggests a profound link, that the idea that uniquely we can be sensitized to a greater understanding of halachic issues and their hashkafic implications, and the true character of Chanukah and its themes and celebration, and in turn, how those halachos inform and direct our own response to crisis, to adversity, to challenges, but also to opportunity. How things like fear and lockdowns and quarantines that challenge our conventional norms also can, as I say, provide crucial perspective, not only in neutralizing and overcoming, those particular adverse circumstances, but how they could kind of illuminate for us, certain aspects of Avodas Hashem and a certain understanding of our own persona as Ovdei Hashem. So what I'd like to do is discuss the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, and Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, which describes, again, this very unique circumstance. So let me just first read the Gemara. It's here on page 1 in the Mar Makomos, the first entry. And we're going to get back to it in a little more detail in a couple of minutes. But the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, this is on page 1, the first Mar Makom, Ner Chanukah mitzvah lahanicha al Pesach beso mi bachutz. That preferably, and it's interesting, we'll get back to it, but the Gemara uses the expression mitzvah, kind of an ambiguous term in this particular circumstance, because it's talking not about the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah per se, but about the mitzvah that is accomplished by this particular placement, by putting it in the right or ideal venue. So mitzvah la'andichal Pesach beisam yibachutz, preferably it should be outside. Im hayadar ba'aliyah, if you live, on a higher floor, so then there is no outside. Miniach b'chalon asmucha l'rishus harabim, I guess you do the next best thing. You put it to the window near the rishus harabim. Here there's an interesting debate whether it means outside the window, as many mafarshim understand. Rashi seems to think that maybe it means inside the window, even if there's an opportunity of outside the window, which is fascinating, and we'll get to it. But then the main part of our topic, ubishasa sakana, in a time of danger, in a time of crisis, minicha al shulchano v'dayo. You place the menorah on the table, and that's v'dayo, and that's sufficient. Just like the term mitzvah seems to be superfluous, intriguing, therefore, so too the phrase or the term v'dayo, that's good enough, also seems to be superfluous. Both mitzvah and dayo can be understood in opposite ways, as we will explain. But either way, the fact that there's some ambiguity about both is certainly interesting. Then the Gemara concludes by saying, Amar Rava, tzorech ner acheres lehishtamesh leora. You need to have another candle or another light, right? So it can be used, so you'll be able to use it for the light. V'ikim medura lo tzarech, if you have a bonfire. I adam chashuv afagav v'ikim medura tzarech ner acheres. So again, this view of Rava, which may be one of the sources or the source for the idea of having a shamash, an additional ner, which we all do, but it comes mostly from this Gemara of Rava. Why is it connected to this particular brisa? So that's a brisa that we are going to examine. Again, we don't have time to examine it, completely or exhaustively, but at least to touch on some of the approaches and their implications. Before we do that, let's take a step back and just think about what it is that we are talking about. The truth is that this phenomenon described here in the Gemara, namely assigning a structured, premeditated category for how to light Neros Chanukah b'shas sakana, is itself unique. Of course, in the performance of mitzvos, historically, and this is completely something that we can also anticipate. There will be emergencies or circumstances in which it is inconducive to perform the mitzvah at all or to perform it maximally. Certainly that is the case. But typically we have rules that govern this sort of issue. How far do you go in the performance of a mitzvah? There are, Yoharig Valyavor, Mesiris Nefesh rules, and there are rules, financially in terms of how much sacrifice a person makes, when Chomesh and when, Shlish, when it's Yavor Val Yoharig, when it's Yoharig Valyavor, etc. The Gemara in other places speaks about circumstances, of Sakana or Shasadchak. Gemara in Lulav HaGazel speaks about the inability to procure a lulav and esrog. We have lulav ayavesh. What do you do b'shas adchak? The Gemara in Suvas of Gimel and Beis speaks more generally about shas hashmad clashing with the existence of a takana, and we have rules that regulate this sort of thing. I'm not aware of any other parallel, and I think most people just don't think about it, to what we have here in the Gemara and Shabbos, and that is kind of anticipating and having a prescribed methodology, that is part of seemingly that is an insider in the world of Neros Chanukah, like an alternative for Sakana for Hanukkah. And surely that is very, very peculiar. The fact that it's anticipated, structured, the crisis form of Neres Hanukkah is unusual. The general parameters are usually defined by the nature of the mitzvah, as well as, you know, the counter pressure, how urgent, how much pikuach nefesh, shas hashmad, eva, shas hadchak, financial distress, etc. And yet here, it seems like the typical canon, the normal protocols don't apply. Hanukkah has its own regulations for shas hasakana. And surely that is significant. Moreover, the solution itself, and this is mostly what we're going to discuss, appears to be problematic. On the surface, it's unsatisfying to light. Well, I mean, again, this is a little misleading. All of us, you know, who live in Chutz Lartz, pretty much, you know, light indoors. It's not traumatic for us. But if you look at Medina de Gemara, given what the ideal was, the idea of lighting on the inside seems to be an unsatisfying compromise, given the central role of Pirsumei Nisa. Why not either just abandon the effort because you can't accomplish it with integrity, or, you know, insist that people go that extra mile, assuming it isn't Sakana Gemura. You know, there are some things in which we take, you know, greater risks than others. If we're really talking about a Shas HaShmad, a time of religious crisis where the Gzeira is particularly focused on, you know, the principle of forcing, you know, Jews to abdicate their religious responsibility, then that becomes an issue of martyrdom. Just like, you know, the principle of Kiddush Hashem, Bifarhesya, Shas HaShmad, the Gimel Averos, etc. Either way, the possibility of saying, you know, do it, you know, even when it's dangerous. There are precedents for such things, as long as the danger isn't too great. Even more, the idea that you can't do it properly, don't do it at all, there's certainly precedents for that. The Ritva, we'll see in a moment, says we can't really be talking about a sakana because it's a mitzvah saseh, and, you know, assuming it isn't shas hashmad, there's no yeharig v'yavor. So what's the point? The question is, what are we dealing with? What is this compromise, and does it retain sufficient integrity? What is the benefit of madlik betoch beso al shulchano? If the danger is insufficient, why abandon the key persume nisa component? There is a debate whether we're dealing with a real danger or not. We'll see a little bit of that. If it's a serious pikuach nefesh, why not drop the whole matter from beginning to end? This remarkable phenomenon is something that endured, and that in itself is Omer Darsheni. We live in a democratic society. Most of us don't think that we are endangered, you know, in Chutz Laaretz, in our time, certainly. Either way, whatever the definition of sakana is, or at least according to many Rishonim, who thought it was something close to a serious danger, one could be imprisoned, or worse, it could, you know, adversely affect, you know, the well-being of the Jewish community. You know, none of that pretty much has applied in most of Galus, certainly, for many, many years. And yet, the practice to light inside mostly has persisted. And the Mefarshim themselves make note of this. The Or Zeruah and the Bala Itur both seem to kind of shrug their shoulders, but accept it. If you look here just very quickly on page 2, the first entry on page 2, the first, if you go four lines down, the first new entry is from the Or Zeruah, Chelek Beis, Hilchos Chanukah. The Or Zeruah says, V'yesh mefarshim, shas ha-sakana shegozer shol lahadik neres shel Chanukah. What is the shas ha-sakana that they directly decreed that you are not allowed to like Neros Chanukah. Sounds like a kind of Shas Hashman, which gets you into one kind of difficulty. But then he adds, Viha Idna, Deleka Sakana, we who are not really in danger, Lo Yadana, Mai Taima, Einanu Madlikin Bechatzeros. He said, I'm not really sure, why I lived in Vienna, why it is that we don't light outside. The Sefer Itur, the next entry, the goal, the maximal way to fulfill the mitzvah is to light outside. In a time of crisis or danger, you put it on the table, and that's enough. Says the Itur, once they started practicing on the basis of sakana, to light inside, Nagu, they continued with that, or created a reality of its own. Interesting, it brings in Beis HaKnesses. In a way, Beis HaKnesses is like the opposite or the flip side of Meniach al Shulchano Vidayo. Because Beis HaKnesses, you have Pirsum Anes without a real personal Hadlaka. And in the bias, you have hadlaka seemingly without any or significant, at least external, pirsumei nisa. But the Sefer Itur seems to be responding to the issue that the Or Zeruah brings up, and that is like the curious or intriguing fact that we persist in lighting inside, even though the counter pressure no longer seems to be sufficient. And while the Itur seems to be recommending hadlaka minachutz, bachutz, the fact is that he seems to be also justifying or somehow legalizing, keeping the status quo. The person who wrote the footnotes on the Sefer Itur understands that the Itur is kind of responding to the challenge of the Or Zeruah. But it's hard to know what he means by it. There are some poskim who went much further than this and who suggested that one maybe wouldn't fulfill the obligation of Neros Chanukah Bachutz, in Galus, or in a place where there used to be a Sakana. That's very peculiar, obviously, and it requires an explanation. What is it about Hadlaka Bifnim that somehow came to be perceived as a legitimate expression, even absent counter pressure, maybe even as advantageous in one respect, maybe, it sounds like it, to accentuating some of the prime themes of Ner Chanukah, such that it becomes a legitimate continuation. I was looking on the computer, they have the comments of all sorts of things. They have the Ha'aros of Rabbi Yashiv, Zecharna Levracha, on the Daf. So I just looked at it. He has a fascinating comment. If you look here, I think I put it on the Makoros. Just as an example of this strange phenomenon, it's on page 6. If you look on page 6, he says, one second. The Kolzev, the second paragraph, Kolzev b'shasa sakana b'mikra kiparsi o'shmad, b'sogi b'kachal shulchan, I'll get to that in a minute, v'ein tzorach klal yad pesach. Ach b'chutz la'aretz shayni, d'shom gam b'zman hazeh hava mokom ha'adlaka b'fnim. U'mosif v'holech kivin sheyo shom minag l'hadlik b'fnim mishum sakana, v'nishtarish shom kein, L'kach nishar zeh mokom ha'adlaka k'din. Ad kedei kach, that he goes on to say, u'mikom mokom b'chutz, right, pashut d'yetze yidei chavaso. He needs to tell you that you'll fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah even in chutz la'aretz if you light outside. Very generous. But that, he's certainly not critical, as others are, of the practice to continue, notwithstanding the absence of sakana bifnim. Then he goes on to say, "Ach be'eretz Yisrael, where he lived, We'll get back to that. You can under no circumstances fulfill the obligation of Neros Chanukah inside. So it's very extraordinary, this post-Sakana Galus phenomenon, the persistence of lighting inside, which I'm going to suggest, I'm already suggesting, implies that while the origins of lighting bachutz are b'dieved, and they are sakana, that nonetheless, there is, you know, some, as I say, benefit, something about the themes of Neros Chanukah that is sufficiently enhanced even by this pinim emphasis. And we'll discuss what exactly that might be. So what I'd like to do is go back to the Gemara and I try to identify several fundamental approaches. As we already discussed, the Gemara says that mitzvah, that it's a mitzvah to light b'chutz. Then the Gemara has a second case, and that is a person lives, no sakana, he just lives on a higher floor. You know, he lives in a high rise. So then he uses his window, right? And the third case, b'shas sakana. And shas sakana is called dayo. The first scenario is called mitzvah. And then you have the in-between. If you look very carefully at the language of the Gemara, the first two contingencies seem to be connected. You know, there are alternatives. Ner Chanukah mitzvah nicha pesach beisu mibachutz. Im hayadar ba'aliyah. And then comes u b'shas, not im b'shas sakana, but u b'shas sakana, menichal shulchano v'dayo. So the language that's used in the three cases separates the third from the first two. And the language of dayo, of course, needs to be examined. So what I'd like to do is try to take a step back and try to evaluate how mechudash and how b'dieved is lighting outside. I'm sorry, lighting inside. How much do you lose? And if it is indeed very mechudash, then what is the level of mitzvah or kiyum that you have? Is it more like shelo tishtakach toras, you know, hadlakas neiros Chanukah, like the Gemara says about, you know, lulav ayavesh, if you have no choice in sukkah? In other words, you want to keep it alive and you want to look to the future. So you're investing in a kind of hollow performance, you know, that ultimately will bring you back, you know, to the ideal. But then, of course, the level of your fulfillment, as I say, is minimal, if anything. And certainly you would want to speed as quickly as possible to, you know, to revisit, you know, when you can properly fulfill the mitzvah. Moreover, the pressure, the sakana would have to be significant, you know, to begin with. On the other hand, if we conclude that there is a significant mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, even when you light Bifnim, even though we're conceding that it is a fundamentally flawed performance, namely that what you are omitting, what's absent, is not a small, but is a huge gap in the performance of the mitzvah. So then it seems as if, you know, hadlaka bifnim probably has its own identity and maybe accentuates certain themes of Neros Chanukah in a way that establishes, you know, it is a legitimate form of hadlaka. Okay, so that's basically what I would like to look at. The Rambam, interestingly, when he quotes our Gemara, puts the first two halachos, meaning hadlaka sner Chanukah b'chutz and b'chalon, together in one halacha. When he talks about shasa sakana, that he reserves an independent halacha, and there's no vavachibor. The language implies that shasa sakana is a departure a significant departure from the norm, whereas the din of chalon, for example, while it's less than ideal, is just quantitatively inferior, but still belongs in the same classification and category as the first. Look, for example, the Rambam on page 5, Perek Dalid, Hilchos Chanukah, Halacha Zayin. The Rambam says, Ner Chanukah mitzvah l'andicha piska al Pesach beso mibachutz. And then he describes, and then if you go to the next line, you see I boldened it, the imayadar ba'aliyah. Again, it's not even im, it's vi'im, with the vavachibur, meaning these are along the same spectrum. This is one group of problems. Imayadar ba'aliyah, menicha b'chalon asmucha l'shus harabim. Then comes a separate halacha ches, bimei hasakana meniach adam ner chanukah. And here the Rambam says, interestingly, betoch beso mibifnim. Almost a double formulation, as if this is extremely noteworthy. It's not just something that we do, but it's betoch beso mibifnim. Why do you say mibifnim after he already says betoch beso? V'afilu hinichu al shulchano dayo. There's a bit of a chiddush in the Rambam in repeating betoch beso and mibifnim. And also, it sounds like the Rambam thinks that preferably you might put it somewhere else, like near the door, right? But that even putting it on the shulchan, that's another level, and that's where the dayo comes from. Betzarech lios betoch habayis ner acher lishtamish lioro. This halakha of Rabbah, the Rambam quotes only with regard to the makom sakana, zman sakana, and hadlaka betoch beso and bibifnim. Other Rishonim are the opinion that the din of Rava is stated here, but it applies to all three cases, to all cases of hadlakas ner chanukah. So the Rambam gives the impression that hadlaka b'shas sakana betoch bifnim is indeed a separate chalos of neros chanukah in one respect. Okay. On the other hand, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, just structurally, it's very interesting to note that the Shulchan Aruch integrates all three cases, as if structurally to say that, you know, it's a hierarchy, it's a quantitative hierarchy. The best pirsum, etc., is hadlaka b'chutz, then comes b'chalon, then comes b'deleis breira bifnim. Look very quickly on page 3, Haner Chanukah, this is Tafresh Ayin Aleph Sifei. Haner Chanukah Menicha Al Pesach Hatzomach L'Shus HaRabim Mibachutz. Im Abayis Pasuach L'Shus HaRabim. Menicha Al Pischo. Vim Yesh Chatzel Lefnei Abayis Menicha Al Pesach HaChatzer. Actually, the Shulchan Aruch is even adding contingencies in the hierarchy, because why not? It's about intensifying, maximizing Pesumei Nisa. So there are probably, you know, quite a few in-between cases. Vim Adar Balia She'en Al Pesach Pasuach L'Shus HaRabim. Minicha b'chalon asamach l'shus harabim, u b'shas hasakana, right? Because it's a continuation. She'ein rashai l'kayim a mitzvah, where he has no, you know, rashai is actually a strange word that the Shulchan Aruch uses here. Minicha al shulchan v'dayo, v'tzorech nacher norach neracher l'hishtamish l'oro. Interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch in Tuf Reish Ayin Gimel, so on the bottom of the page, Yud Dalid. Binoagim lahadlik ner nosaf kadesh mishtamish laora yelora nosaf shu osa shadolik acharon. And then the question is what the shamish should be. So the Shulchan Aruch actually quotes the din of Rava twice. Once regarding hadlaka bifnim, or also with regard to hadlaka bifnim, but probably relating to all three or four cases. And then he repeats generally the requirement of a shamish. There are those who are medayik in the Shulchan Aruch that when it comes to Tuf Reish Ayin Aleph and the Gemara and Rava, he says as an affirmative, he says it as an obligation. In Tuf Reish Ayin Gimel, it's v'noagim lahadlik. But interestingly, and others have noted this as well, the Gra actually flipped them. The Gra quotes Rava in Tuf Reish Ayin Gimel and is, you know, kind of ignores it in Tuf Reish Ayin Aleph. But in any case, the bigger point I'm trying to make is that the Shulchan Aruch here seems to be mostly l'shitasam. The Shulchan Aruch seems to think that there's a quantitative hierarchy on the best way to light Neros Chanukah. And the worst case scenario, the least Pursumei Nisa, is when you light Bifnim. But otherwise, it's all the same mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. It's not a different, it's not so mechudash. The dinim will mostly, you know, just apply. And therefore, if there's a requirement of a shamash in Hadlaka Bifnim, there's probably a requirement b'chutz. Or if there isn't and there is some difference, it's due to technical reasons, namely the heker, let's say, of establishing unequivocally that the reason that you're lighting this candle is, you know, for the sake of the mitzvah and not for functional purposes. Let's say that's more obvious when you light outside, you know, where you don't live, than when you light on your table. So some of the poskim say it's the same din, and even if it isn't the same din, the discrepancy is a function of, you know, of the result, of technical result of lighting inside or outside. However, the Rambam, Lishitaso, who seems to single out the lighting in Sakana, seems also to single out the din of Rabbah. Elsewhere, the Rambam paskins that you're not allowed to be mishtamish b'ner, but it sounds like the din of Heker that Rava establishes is unique to lighting inside. And the fact that the Rambam separates the halachos and integrates it only with that, sakana, is lishitaso in that particular issue. Okay. So I'd like to identify his four different approaches to understanding the character and the significance of Bishasa Sakana, Madlikin Bebeso, Vafilo Al Shulchano, the Dayo. Okay. The first view is the view of quite a few of the Rishonim. Probably already, you know, Balitosis, but it's particularly, since we're short on time, I'm going to try to move much more quickly. We'll leave out some of the Marmakomos, but you can reflect on them. The first view, I think, is particularly highlighted by the Ritva and early a little bit by the Rajba, although there's some echoes of it in Bali Tosfot as well. The Ritva basically suggests that there's a quantitative hierarchy of Pursumei Nisa, and that in the end of the day, even lighting in the house is Pursumei Nisa for Bnei Beiso. Moreover, what's particularly mechudash about the Ritva is that the Ritva thinks that midishasa sakana nishma lemokl nishma le, you know, other circumstances where you don't have the possibility of lighting properly bachutz. In other words, shasa sakana is not a special contingency. It's just a hechatimtzi. It's an example of the lowest rung of the hierarchy. But if you have to invoke that rung, that model, you can do so even at a time when there's no sakana, even when other individuals, for example, are lighting bachutz. How do we see this? We see it in numerous positions that the Ritva takes. So, for example, the Ritva says that all the Rishonim discuss the question of Achatech L'Regel Menashok. You're only allowed to light Neros Chanukah, according to the Gemara, as long as there is activity outside. Clearly, that is defined by the principle of Pursumei Nisa. So what happens after that time? So we'll see in a moment. The Rambam Shita, if you look in Perek Dalad, Hilchos Chanukah, Halacha, one second. If you look at Perek Dalad, Hilchos Chanukah, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, Ein Madlikim Deros Chanukah is on page 5. Kodim Shetishka Chama, El Im Shkiyasa, Lo Ma'achrim V'lo Magdimin. You light the Chanukah candles at Shkia. Shachach o hezid v'lo hidlik im shkia sachama, if you either forgot or intentionally you were lazy, didn't do it on time. Madlik v'holech ad shetich l'regel menashok. You could still light, but only until tich l'regel menashok. B'kamu zman zeh, kamo chatzi shah o yaser. Approximately half an hour. The inexact shiur is fascinating in the Rambam. We don't have time to go into it Over Zman Zeh, Eino Madlik, wow. The Rambam's view is if you miss this window of opportunity, that's why people are very makbid to light early, because according to the Rambam, it seems like that's all you can do. Okay. The Balei Tosas, however, point out, if you look here on page, the Marmar Komos on page 2, I'm guessing. Just 1 second. No, page 1. Tosas says, the ilo adlik madlik, avo mikan ve'elach over zman, omer hari parat, yesh li zar lahadlik balayla miyad, shalo yacher yosar midai. You should light in the beginning of the evening and not delay. You could. This, of course, is the heter that a lot of people use to light later. Since we light on the inside and the audience is the bnei abayis, the principle of adjatik l'regel menashuk is transferred inside the house, and you light there as long as there are people. Oh, the Rambam seems to disagree. The Rambam seems to disagree even bizman ha-sakana. And that's a very important argument. We'll get back to the Rambam in just a minute. But the Ritva says the following. The Ritva says, only now that we are lighting bifnim? Or does the fact that the poskim say that when you light bifnim, right, you can light as late as you want, have implications even when there's no sakana? Look at the Ritva on page 2. He quotes the view of the same view, in the name of the Bala Trumos. You look at the underlined part on page 2. Ilo adlik madlik bachutz ad hahi shaita. Avo basar hochi eno madlik ela bifnim. What it really means is, if you want to light outside, your window of opportunity, not a time of sakana, your window of opportunity is achetik l'regal menashuk. But you still can light. You should just move it inside. Even if you're in Eretz Yisrael, even in the best of times. If in Sakana you can light inside, and if then there's no shear, or the shear is b'nei beso, hu adin, anytime. That's not obvious. So now look at the next Ritva. The Ritva says, the second one, the one after. U'b'shasa sakana manichal shulchano. Says the Ritva, Pirish, lo sov davar sakanas nefashos. The sakana that we're speaking about is not sakanas nefashos. Dim kein pshitad al mitzvah saseh lo yehareg. Right? No one's telling you to give up your life for a mitzvah saseh. So obviously the sakana isn't sakanas nefashos here. So some of the Akronim ask the following question. Why not? There's still a chiddush that there's a methodology of Neros Chanukah bifnim. Whoever said there was such a thing, if not for the Gemara? Now, let's assume we're talking about a sakanas nefashos. No one's suggesting in sakanas nefashos that you give up your life for the mitzvah d'rabbanan divrei sofrim of Ner Chanukah. The Ritva's right about that. But that doesn't mean you can light inside. Why can you light inside? There's no persume nisa. How do you know that there exists such a phenomenon? But the Ritva wasn't bothered by it, because for the Ritva, mide sakana nishma leina sakana. Meaning the Ritva, based on sakana, reassessed the role of persume nisa and came to the conclusion that it's either only mitzvah, maybe that's how he read the word mitzvah, Or that there's a hierarchy of who your audience is in Prasume Nisa. But it could very well be that your audience is B'nai Beso, B'di Eved. So of course you can always light inside. No one expects you to give up your life for the extra Hidur. And the Tzura of Hadlaka, even Bachutz, is obvious. But it's not obvious to other Rishonim. Because for them, the absence of an external persume nisa may mean that this is not any longer near Hanukkah. That doesn't mean you have to give up your life, but you shouldn't be making a bracha levatala or a simulation either. But this is the Ritva Lishitaso. For that reason, he then goes on and says, Ala filu sakonas tsaru eva kamo betzarfat. I guess, commentary. Even if it's just very unpleasant, and you don't want to stir hostility, right? It's just tsar. Then he goes on and he quotes the Ra'ah. Kishakonoshev ruach. Let's say it's very windy outside. That's also the equivalent, meaning the Ritva's view is, Sakana is not fundamentally different form of Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah. It's just an extension of the hierarchy, less Persume Nisa. If that's the case, how much Sakana do you require? And do you really require any urgent matter will be sufficient to require you to do this? For that reason, the Ritva in the very next piece says, the Din of Rava, that you have to have a Ner, dedicated to or, when you light inside, he said, the same thing applies outside. There's also the view of the Ran and others. Kena Yosar Mori Arav, Lishumadam Ladabiram Chavero, the Pesach or a Ner Chanukah, anything that looks like, you're using the light for other than the mitzvah is a problem. Bifnim and Bechutz, there's no difference between Bifnim and Bechutz. It's all a hierarchy. The Rajba goes further. The Rajba, the next piece, I'm not going to read it. I'll just tell you what he says. The Rajba says, I can prove to you that you can't be mishtamish la'or ner Chanukah. You can't use Chanukah candles for your own purposes. You know what the proof is? The proof is the Gemara says later on Chav Gimel Amid Beis that if you have to choose between ner Chanukah and a ner of Shabbos, which is Shalom Bayis, Shalom Bayis trumps. So the Rajba says, if you're allowed to use the Ner Chanukah, you could just take the Ner Chanukah, you could light inside, and then you would be able to double it for Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. But the Rajba's not talking, the Gemara's not talking about a case of Sakana. The Gemara's talking about in a regular year. In a regular year, you have only money to spend, or there's only one candle, and you have to use it either for one or the other. Who said you're allowed to light inside in a regular year? The Rajba, the Ritva, assume mid the sakana. If you can do it to sakana, you can bid the Evid, you can always do it. It's Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah. Oh. That's one approach. According to that approach, the din of sakana is important, but it's important because it reevaluates and expands what constitutes Persume Nisa. It's not a din in its own right. But according to the Rambam, as I've already mentioned, it seems like sakana is a category unto itself. And it seems like sakana requires extra heker, the din of Rava. It seems, according to the Rambam, that sakana is a different approach to Neiros Chanukah. And what would motivate the Rambam? His extreme emphasis on the role of Persume Nisa. And indeed, the Rambam in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Chanukah Halacha Gimel, when he first formulates the nature of this mitzvah, if you'll turn to page 5, I'm sorry, not 5, it's going to be 4. Rambam says, Perek Gimel Halacha Gimel, when he describes the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah, he says, this is the bolden part, U'madlikin bahem aneiros, the erev, al pischei abatim b'chol layla v'layla, mishmonas aleilos, l'haros l'galos asaneis. Two things. When the Rambam wants to describe the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, he uses a very long sentence and includes in the definition the venue of the Ner Chanukah. If you ask the Rajba or the Ritva, probably the Shulchan Aruch, to define the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, right? They wouldn't tell you Pisgah Batim. It's mitzvah. The way the Rambam understood mitzvah, though, is that's the Ikar mitzvah. Not the way that the Ritva understood it, and Rajma was, it's a mitzvah ben a mufkar to have as much persumei nisa as you can. Im avar velo pirsei mesanes, or lo pirsei mesanes, you know, ad belidai, maximally, yatsa. But the Rambam thinks that the mitzvah is part of the definition. Maybe that's where he got it from. So when he describes what the mitzvah is, he includes be'er al peskei abatim. Why? Because of the next part of what he says. Laharus ulegalus is anes. But, and the Rambam repeats this in Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Beis. You can look at it. Rambam says, mitzvah, sneres chanukah, mitzvah chaviva, hi ad ma'od. And he says, kedei lahodia ulegalus is anes, and to be modeh hodah on it. The very definition of Nerchan, it's not like there's an additional kiyum, according to the Rambam. Pirsum is part of the definition, and therefore the makom pirsum of chutz is part of the definition. But if that's the case, then how could the how is it even viable to have Neiros Chanukah bifnim? All right, it's a separate category, and it's overcompensated or it has extra dinim like Rava. But how are you yotze? It also sounds like the Rambam thinks that the din of Acha Tichel Regel Min Hashuk, in his very narrow understanding, which again is pure piersum, that's Rambam's Kiddush. If you go past that, you can't light. He doesn't say that's not true Bizman HaSakana. If you put the puzzle together for the Rambam, the collection of his views is fascinating and seemingly contradictory. Well, on the one hand, not, meaning the Ikar mitzvah in a fundamental way relies on Pirsum and Ace. And yet Shasa Sakana is simulating some of the Pirsum, even though it isn't accomplishing it. It's moved everything inside. And it's Vidayo. So what is going on in the realm? Oh. So I would like to share briefly three perspectives. The first is the Chidushi Agriz, Revelvel. Slates, I'll try to go quickly through these. I want to get some of the other parts. Revelvel is of the opinion, and it's in Likutei Agriz, it's also quoted a lot in stories about Revelvel, and his family members spoke about it. Revelvel is convinced that Shasa Sakana is a new Takana. Meaning, there's the original Takana of Neiros Chanukah, which is Dafka Bachutz. If you don't like Bachutz, it's a Bracha Levatala, it's Ma'akev. If at the time, before they made this Takana of Sakana, you were to light inside, for whatever reason, it would be a Bracha Levatala. After all, the Rambam says in Gimel Gimel that the Mikum, the venue of the lighting, is part of the definition. And for good reason. It's all part of the Pirsum, which more than any other Rishon, the Rambam projects, says the Revelvel. However, this is the Gemara is telling us there's a new Takana. They made a Takana for Sakana. Takana for Sakana. Meaning, now that itself is fascinating that they did that. Why would they do that? As opposed to applying the regular dinim or saying, either you risk your life, if that's appropriate, or you do nothing. But Revelvel says, this is a din v'dayo. So if it's a shas sakana, even if you personally can get away with lighting outside, you don't need to. You can fulfill the obligation and make the bracha. However, says Revelvel, because these are two different chalos sadlakas, if avar sakana, avar ha'ones, and there's still time, or he thought the same thing with true geshem, might have, once a sakana, there's an option inside, Geshem would allow for that as well. But let's say it stops raining. He told his, Revelvel's practice was to go outside, make a bracha again on the Neiros for the Kiyum of Persumei Nisa. A very stark difference with the contrast to the position of the Rajba and the Ritva and the Bali Tosis and Shulchan Aruch. That's one possibility. However, I find that difficult in that it doesn't say in the Gemara that there's a new Takana. If there is a new Takana, how does it work and why is it ever enough if Pirsum is part of the definition? So let's look at a second alternative. The Rav Zichrono Livracha, at least a couple of times, I don't know how firm he was about this, had a different take on the Rambam. The Rav was troubled by the stira between Gimel Gimel, which says, again, that Al Pischei Abatim is part of the Hagdara of Neiros Chanukah, and the Din of Sakana. He also noticed that in Gimel Gimel, if you look carefully, the Rav speaks about being madlik Al Pischei Abatim, and then in the same halacha, he repeats that mitzvah Sner Chanukah is a mitzvah b'divrei Sofrim, and he compares it to Megillah. So the Rav argued that really there are two different dinim, two distinct dinim in Ner Chanukah. And they can be, the Chiddush of the Rav was, in the Rambam, they're separable. There is the mitzvah of Hadlaka, and that's what you accomplish bifnim b'shas sakana. It's not a new takana, like Rav Velvel. There always were two aspects to Ner Chanukah. So this is the Hadlaka, it's separable. At the same time, of course, the Kiyum of Pirsumei Nisa is completely missing. And therefore, you know, if it's possible to do the other, to do both, then you should do both. But basically what the Rambam is saying is our two dinim, that's why he formulates twice the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. The Rav went further, this part is even more mechudash, he said, really, if there are two dinim, and if the Hadlaka B'Shas Sakana is just that, and there's no Pirsumei Nisa, so maybe a lot of the other associations that we have with Ner Chanukah do not apply. For example, maybe Neri Shub, again, he certainly didn't practice this Lamaisa, but Neri Shubeso would be sufficient for the Rambam's Hadlaka Bifnin. You don't need Mahadran. That's all part of the Pirsumei part. Or maybe the Zmanim. Or there are some poskim who think that maybe, especially since the Rambam says that Hadlaka Sneiros Chanukah is an act of Hodah, so maybe that means that you need Kavana. You need a Heker for sure, but maybe you also need Kavana to be Modeh. Mitzvah Shrichas Kavana in this case. The Rav said, okay, but not for the Rambam, B'Sakana, B'Fnim. Maybe Birchas Haroa wouldn't even work on the Cheftza Shel Ner, which is lacking Pirsumei Nisa B'Fnim. In other words, what you have is a very stark division between Hadlaka and Pirsumei Nisa. I find that also very fascinating, but very difficult. After all, the Rambam continues to imply that Adjatikla Regel Menashuk applies even Bifnim. The Rambam doesn't tell you anywhere that the normal dinim, you know, of Hodah and Shevach and Halel don't apply B'makom Sakana. On the contrary, there's a very interesting discussion of the Achronim. Some of the Achronim say, well, in terms of the relationship between, you know, the Gemara has what takes priority, Ner Chanukah or Kiddush Hayom? You can do only one. So the Gemara says, Ner Chanukah because of Pirsumei Nisa. So some of the Achronim discuss this, the Shari Tshuva quotes the Shvus Yaakov, discussing this in Tafrei Shayin Aleph. What happens Bizmana Sakana? If you light inside. So there's no Pirsumei Nisa. So would Kiddush Hayom take precedence over Ner Chanukah? But there's no evidence in the Rambam. The Rambam quotes that halacha. He doesn't say it's not. Mamedvar mamurim shelo b'shas sakana. None of these halachas. So the idea that there are two completely independent dinim that can always be separated is difficult. Moreover, the dinim of Neiros Chanukah themselves imply that there indeed is are two aspects, dimensions, but not two completely different dina. The evidence is that they're integrated. The evidence is, and this is my view, that Neiros Chanukah is a mitzvah shadloka shemefarse mesanes, or sheyesh bo koach lefarse mesanes. And the pirsume nisa is the pirsum of anes, which is the result of hadlokas Neiros Chanukah. Meaning, you have to have both. Each part needs the other. You can't separate them. That's why kofsa, of course, ein zokuk lo. If you light it and it goes out, there's no point to light it again. That's why, according to many poskim, the shiur of hadlaka has to be there b'shas hadlaka. We paskin hadlaka osa mitzvah. You can't light it and then put it. Otherwise, hanacha should be osa mitzvah if everything is about the hechatimtzi of pirsum, or at least why not fulfill the pirsum part? In the Rambam, the idea, and in the poskim, that you could do hadlaka bli pirsum and pirsum bli hadlaka mostly does not seem to be correct. What I would suggest for the Rambam is that the Rambam holds that you have to maximize this combination of hadlaka and pirsum. And therefore, when it's possible, the hagdara of the mitzvah includes the best possible pirsum. And that's what Gimel Gimel says. You light b'pischei abatim. And when you light the sakana, you're losing something, because the pirsum is either extremely diminished or non-existent. However, it's not a new takana, and it's not a hollow act. It's vidayo, meaning what you have still is the hadlaka, which is omedes le pirsum, even if the pirsum itself is not possible. But because the two are an integrated whole, on the one hand, you have the chumras, when it's possible to do the maximum, that you're held to that standard. And at the same time, when it's impossible, right, you're still involved in the original mitzvah itself. If you ask me, if of our, you know, ha'ones, after you lit, that's what vidayo means. You don't have to go out and light again. Because the pirsume nisa isn't independent. How did the Rambam know this, and what are the implications of it? And how does it explain, you know, this even more radical application of Sakana? I think this goes to the heart of what Chanukah is all about. Chanukah is about responding to crisis. The way the Rambam describes in Perek Gimel Halach Aleph and Beis, the background of Chanukah makes it perfectly clear that in his opinion, what Chanukah is not just the nes of the Pach HaShemen or the Mochama narrowly understood, but rather it is the way that we encounter, the way that we confront a crisis that challenges our quality of religious life, of life and of religious life. That's what Chanukah was. Shas HaShmad. Lashkicham Torasech al Avir Mechukei Ritzonech. It wasn't a technical problem. It was an existential religious crisis. Both the response of the Maccabim, spiritual heroism together with Milchama, as well as the symbol of the Neiros Chanukah, because it was unnecessary to Mehutra B'tzibur, is the symbol of the indispensability of Torah mitzvos, and the need to be moser nefesh for them, and the need to keep perspective, as well as the directive of where to find perspective when we confront crisis situations. Chanukah is about ner ishu besa. Particularly for the Rambam, I won't go into details right now, but the Rambam doesn't just say ner ishu besa. He describes Neiros Chanukah as a chovas habayis. This has huge implications. Rashi also thinks you need a bias, otherwise you can't have Neir Chanukah. Rashi thinks that if you're lighting even on the outside and you have a home that leads to a chatzer, that leads to Rishus HaRabim, Most of the Rishonim say you light in the Chatzar near the Rosh Hasharabim because that's your audience. Rashi insists you light outside of your door into the Chatzar. You have to be connected to the bias. And in the Chalon of the higher floor for Rashi, it's inside the bias. The bias isn't just the venue. The bias is the foundation for Neros Chanukah, for Hadlaka. Because even though the focus is Bakutz, it's the external light, it's the overflow of the Mesiras Nefesh, of the Hadlaka, it's what the Hadlaka reflects in the inner bias and in the inner human being, the inner religious persona, that overflows to the outside. It's mina bias ulachutz. And therefore, if there can't be lachutz, of course, implicitly, there's still the bias. Afilu al shulchano, the dayo. Under those conditions, if that's all you can do, that's a full hadlaka. It's a hadlaka omedes lepirsum that has been disrupted. The omedes lepirsum is the sharing and the impact and the overflow. But it's the maisa mitzvah, the substance of the hadlaka, what it implies, mina bayis v'lachutz, that is the real mitzvah. Moreover, the Rambam himself defines the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah as a mitzvah of hodaya in Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Beis, and implied in Perek Gimel Halacha Gimel. Hoda'a is a deep, profound expression of thanks. When you share your thanks with other people, especially strangers, it can end up being a trivialization, an artificial kind of a thanks. After all, they don't know your circumstances. You know, they can't, you're going to bare your soul to people, you know, the Talmudai who are walking out, you know, doing their shopping in the shuk. What does it even mean? But it's min habayis v'lifnim. It's the inner illumination, which becomes the external light, meaning it is precisely your inner world that undergoes a profound transformation when a person reflects profoundly and comes to the humble realization that he's not self-sufficient, that he has to rely on the Ribbono Shel Olam, on his omniscience and omnipotence. When you have that, it overflows to the outside. Min habayis v'lachutz. It's the pnimius that becomes the chitzonius. Last year I spoke about the principle of avas Hashem that is implicit in Chanukah. And I mentioned the Rambam, thank you, in Sefer HaMitzvos, who says that avas Hashem is Avraham Avinu. His love overflowed, Avraham o Avi. He couldn't keep it in. That's the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah. That's the mitzvah of Hodah. That's the dialectic, integrated dialectic of Hadlaka and Pirsum, of Kafsei Nezakuk, at the same time, a strict Rambam Ad Shetichle Regel Min Hashuk. In a way, Shasa Sakana is not only implicit because of all this, but under certain conditions, it accentuates what could have been lost in the narrative of Neros Chanukah. Because in all of the Pirsum, in all of the posturing for other people, which is so important, you can sometimes lose sight of Neri Shabeso, of the inner flow, right, that ends up being shared with others. And therefore, at a time of Sakana, we look inward. First thing we do is we reflect, and we're fortified by those who we trust the most, those whose fate means the most to us, our family, our home. We build our inner world. In one respect, b'shasa sakana, sadly, we can't be b'chutz. We're in lockdown. We're in quarantine. But we're forced to come to grips with and to reconcile and to prioritize in a way which can be transformative. We don't seek adversity, but confronted with adversity, we are motivated and inspired sometimes to reach greater heights. At least that normative response is what the halacha demands of us. So b'shasa sakana, not only can we fall, go to the fallback position of the hadlaka, of the bias, of the hodah, which begins internally and then expresses itself beyond, it's much more than that. The crisis itself requires, that because of the crisis, we have no choice. And this is a legitimate, substantive, dayo, Neros Chanukah, albeit absent some part of the full mitzvah. At the same time, ironically, coincidentally, methinks not, it's also the appropriate and most effective response for a crisis itself, for a shasa sakana. And in some respects, as I say, that confrontation and that refocusing ends up being beneficial to the larger goal of returning b'chutz. In that respect, maybe we can really understand that it didn't take such a sakana, or that communities which were challenged in terms of other issues in Jewish life, religious life, of course, it's partly triggered by the avoidance of Eva and other such things. But why so much leeway not to return to the counter-pressure of b'chutz? But the complicated life of chutz laretz or even minor sakanos also sometimes require a more pnim, a more interior, a more reflective, a more going back to the core of what it is that overspills perspective. And therefore, the Rambam's combination ends up, for some, being required. There is a view that b'shas sakana you're not yotzei b'chutz. Maybe also because risking pikuach nefesh is contradictory to the balance that is required and the bigger perspective that also is required by Neros Chanukah. The concept of shas hashmad itself means, on the one hand, you have to avoid, being destroyed by the prick of 1,000 cuts, or the cut of 1,000 pricks, even as v'nishmartem esnaf shaseichem is a very clear requirement, a very clear mandate in those circumstances. So, if that's the case, we can appreciate that Neros Chanukah provides paradigms more generally for adversity, for crisis, for challenges, but in some cases, again, though we do not seek it, also to capitalize on refocusing our priorities and even seeking opportunities. The idea of chutz and panim, and the metaphor to quarantines and lockdowns that we're presently experiencing is, of course, not lost upon us. A time of anxiety requires, or even demands, greater reliance on stability, on the substance and the symbolism of frameworks and institutions that generally guide us. And yet the challenge is that precisely during that time, these institutions become inaccessible. That deepens our sense of alienation as we are shorn from the anchors and the moorings that generally get us through. How do we cope? Where do we seek direction to deepen the quality and purpose of our spiritual life? Tefillah, betzibur, learning in a beis medrash, mitzvos b'farhesya, b'ravam hadras melach. What do you do when these things are temporarily taken from you? And the answer is you have two extreme options. If you look at the Rambam in Igeres Hashmad, it's fascinating just the way that he presents the challenge of Shmad. Of course, we're not talking in our circumstances about Shmad. We're talking about, a plague. But again, the bigger ideas are certainly parallel. The Rambam basically models how you balance, two perspectives. V'nishmartem esnaf shaseichem, and minimizing the risks, and understanding that that too is not a concession to human frailty, but it's a principle, a prime principle in the halacha. After all, it's v'chai bahem. It's part of what makes life, halachic life, worth living. I made the point in the past that when the Rambam speaks about the dinam of Yehoreg v'yavar and Yavar v'al-Yehoreg in Perakei Hilchos Yisariyat Torah, he begins at Perakei Halach Aleph, talks about the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. The first example that he gives is Yavar v'al-Yehoreg. Sometimes the Kiddush Hashem is in abstaining. It's in putting your life first, and especially the safety of the tzibur. But the Rambam says there are other times, you know, when people, you know, kind of, you know, they give up too easily. They lose their aspirational, you know, their ambitious, you know, avodas Hashem focus. The Rambam discusses, you know, those who, you know, say, when Yimos HaMashiach comes, we'll return to full mitzvahs. I have it printed in the back. I'm not going to read it because it'll take a little too long. But I have some sections of Igeres Hashmad. I'll just read one line. The Rambam is very critical of people who, you know, want to just stand back. This is on page 7, the bold. Aval elu shemifatim atzmam v'omrim sheyamdu b'mekoma mat sheyovo ha-melech ha-mashiach l'eretz ha-marav ve'ozu yu yotzim v'hochim l'Yerushalayim en yodei achivato mehem hazeh hashmad. The Rambam is very harsh about such people. The chiyuv mitzvah say natali bebiyas haMashiach. Mitzvos don't depend on Mashiach. Anachnu mechuyavim lisasik b'torah b'mitzvos v'nishtada lahashlem asiyasan. Achashanasa masha anachnu mechuyavim imizaka Hashem lanu olivnei banenu liros haMashiach hareza tov yoter v'imlo lo ifsadnu klum hirvachnu basiyasenu masha anachnu mechuyavim. Avalim yamod ada b'mekomos sheyiroa ki haTorah tifsok v'amin yaved b'avur hashanim v'huena yachal lahamid data v'yomar eshaer ani ad sheyavo haMashiach ve'etzei mazeh ein zakim ro alev v'ibud gadol u'bitol hadas hadas v'hadas zuidati v'Hashem yodei ha'emes. Powerful words. One could ignore, one could be oblivious to the threat. You could wear this apparent halachic badge of courage, you know, of Shomer Psayim Hashem, and test the Rabbonu Shel Olam's hashgacha. You don't only danger yourself. It shows a certain arrogance and insensitivity to the endangerment of others and to respect for the insider value of Nishmartim Misnaf Shel Seichem. It's not a concession. The Chazal used the expression, Rambam, of course, repeats it, that a person who's Yehorig Val Yavar, when it's Yavar Val Yehorig, Harezim Eschaya Benafsho, meaning he makes a chuchot pula. What he's doing is opposite of the truth. Anything less than a Shas Hashmad requires responsibility, notwithstanding the sincere motivation and the admirable tenacity regarding mitzvos and full halachic observance, the perspective of we will light bachutz no matter what, is rejected by Chazal. The other extreme, to hunker down, to close out chutz completely, to remain only bifnim, without any kind of aspiration regarding mitzvos and full halachic observance. In other words, turns mitzvos into a convenience. We'll do it at the ideal time, the Rambam's Mashiach, out of minimal devotion or out of a maximal, inflexible, all or nothing posture. We don't do the mitzvah perfectly, we won't do it at all. Of course, if the real integrity of the mitzvah is compromised, we won't. But if their halacha itself provides ways implicitly, and the Chachmei HaMesora, you know, sanction these, then the choice of doing nothing, as opposed to, you know, being nichnas lebeso v'afilu bishulchano, is the wrong choice. And instead, managing the possibilities, trying to balance all of the dialectical considerations, that's dayo. That's the full mitzvah with the bracha of Chanukah. Sometimes we even extend that for some period because it highlights certain perspectives that are objectively part of the internal mitzvah. If a person behaves in a way that combines bitachon and balance, he's able to relocate and emphasize properly, recalibrate bifnim, especially if he can identify that the hadlaka is the basis of the pirsum and strengthen the hadlaka for what ultimately will be a pirsum. That halakhically complex, but a way of integrity, that is the Kiddush Hashem. That is the mitzvah of Chanukah, about which the Rambam says, because he doesn't distinguish between Shas HaSakana and everything else. Mitzvah Chanukah Chavivahi Ad Miod, there's no mitzvah as exceedingly endearing as a mitzvah of Chanukah. The Rambam says you need Zahirus on Chanukah. It's a strange language. After all, Zahirus is something we associate typically with a lav, not an asay. The Rambam says, Afilo oni mocher ksuso, a very difficult Rambam. Very, very difficult, very mechudash Rambam. Typically, there are limits in mitzvos. A fifth of your money, Hidur has a limit of a third. You don't sell your clothes for all mitzvos. Very rare in the Rambam. The Rambam thinks of the mitzvah of Chanukah because it is the crystallization, not of how you perform a single mitzvah, of the attitude towards the indispensability of Torah u'mitzvos itself, yet balancing that with all the considerations of a crisis, coping, but coping principally, is not a mitzvah just like any others. It's chaviva ma'od on the positive, and you have to be very zahir because of the implications of how you are relating, right, to the challenges of adversity. It's not just about this mitzvah. This mitzvah is the tipping point attitudinally to an approach to spirituality and to religion. And for that reason, the Rambam actually, you know, does expand in every way in his Hagdama what the challenges were. He quotes non-halachic sources to expand on how formidable the obstacles, you know, to Jewish quality of life were in that context. We can understand that dafka in Neros Chanukah, sakana, is built into the structure of Ner Chanukah itself. It's not left to the regular canons, the regular rules that apply elsewhere. Indeed, the intriguing challenge of how much to distinguish applying a mitzvah in crisis mode, the conflicting dialectical considerations, the integrity of the institutions, the aspiration to return to the ideal, but in the moment capitalize on strengthening the crisis allows us to focus on, is an ongoing challenge. The truth is that from the very beginning of our history, we've been challenges. I'm running out of time. Apparently there's another program on the Zoom. So let me just say quickly, from the time of Avraham Avinu, the response to crisis has required this multifaceted approach. Avraham Avinu was a public persona. His chutz was very well documented. His Hachnasas Orchim and his Giyur, Avraham Ohavi, Avraham Gayer Sanashim, Malbim, preacher, always on the move, always on the outside. He barely stayed in his home. But in the end of the day, what seals the credentials of Avraham Avinu are the things that take place in private. Shvulachem poem achamor. Only the Balei Dvarim are there. Only the bias. Only the bond of father and son. And the odyssey to find the Ribbono Shel Olam is a lonely quest. And the story of, you know, Urkazdim is something which is not written in the Torah. In the end, crisis management, no matter how it's expressed, has its roots and anchor in reflection, in the home, in fortifying values. Atiyadati ki re'elokim ata. Yiras Elokim is the basis of it all. Chazal say that hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyiras shamayim. I always like to point out, the chutz miyiras shamayim is not a small thing. Yiras shamayim means how we manage and fortify, how we structure our inner world. We can't control the forces around us, but we can control our reaction to them if we cultivate values that allow us to respond constructively. That is a challenge. That's where Yiras Shamayim comes into play. You know, this shir is about my mother, who I'll speak of in just a moment, Aleha HaShalom. But my mother-in-law, Aleha HaShalom, also, they were actually very good friends and very close in every way, wrote, about spiritual heroism in the Shoah. And the story of the Blizhava Rebbe, Bergen-Belsen, and other stories that are told, parallel stories, of how you could accomplish Chanukah and Dafka Chanukah in the camps. The sense of overcoming adversity and the perspective that is required. Spiritual heroism begins with the bias and with Hoda and with a Hadlaka that then overflows a Chutz. But it begins with that. Yaakov Avinu and Yitzchak and Yisrael, he becomes Yisrael only after struggling with an anonymous Ish, Vayavek Ish Imo. And his personal inner Yaakov is transformed into a bachutz, impactful Yisrael, only, as the Malbim explains, when he comes to grip through introspection with what is truly important to him. And he, of course, is the paradigm of Yisrael in every way. So I'd just like to conclude by saying a few words, as I always do, about my mother. I've said in the past, it's really true, that it's almost hashgacha that her yard sign is on Chanukah. It was her, I think, favorite holiday. And I think, maybe intuitively, because it really captured her personality. My mother was a baskunim. Her father, who she was existentially very bonded with, died when she was very young. She grew up with her mother. She had two siblings. My mother was born in America. Her siblings were both from Europe. They were about 20 years older than her, very high-powered, very extraordinarily gifted people, as was my mother. And she grew up in a very quiet, reserved, somewhat lonely, although blessed with a capacious curiosity, a spirited sense of adventure, and a tremendous simchas hachaim. And that's a very rare, but a very sublime combination, which fostered and cultivated her, I think, ability for introspection, reflection. She had amazing perspective. She had an amazing sense of humor. When you have reserve and dignity, and you also have adventure and curiosity, what you get is a whimsical, ironic, insightful sense of humor. But that's who she was. She flourished in the raucous inner family that she created. A very diverse group of children, a raucous, Shabbos table, everybody very opinionated, a dynamic group. She thrived and she flourished in her beso, but she retained that pnim, that kind of introspective, reserved, I would say noble, kind of bearing, atzilut. Her chutz overflowed, but it was tremendously informed and defined by her pnim. not only her Simchas HaChaim, but as I say, even, you know, her curiosity, you know, and her interests, you know, came in that way. Pirsum through Hadlaka, from the bias to the chutz. She had tremendous impact on those who came in touch with her. Not in an obvious way, but simply by being exposed to her persona. She was a math teacher, not a Rebbe. And how many people have told me that just as a mensch, and just as the rare kind of, again, tocho kibaru, which in light of our discussion takes on a little bit of a different and a more of a meaning, her consistency in behavior, but no more than that, the fact that her tocho remained tocho, even though it was baro, even though she shared it, the way she shared it, was something that just deeply touched and impacted on people. And during a crisis, in particular, this combination, you know, really emerged. My mother was ill several times over the last 20, 25 years of her life. She overcame certain illnesses, but her, you know, Simchas HaChaim and her sense of bitachon and her priorities and her love of family and her curiosity, you know, about the world, all these things ensured that she remained idealistic and optimistic. When she overcame something, she overcame it. And she returned emotionally and existentially to be the person that she was. And even in her final illness, her ability to focus on the things that were prior and important to her, Yahadus, Eretz Yisrael, family, the things that she enjoyed, that she felt were just gifts of the Rabbeinu Shalom in the world, literature and music and math, was something that testified to that rare combination. So when we speak about, you know, Chanukah and the Pnim and the relationship between Pnim and Chutz, it's something which, at least for me, is an appropriate theme to commemorate her 10th Yahrzeit. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos on Chav Gimel Amud Beis that if a person is zahir about Neros Chanukah, then he will ultimately merit to have children who are Talmid HaChachamim. I always like to understand that I'm sure it's a skula, but it's not only a skula. What it means is when a person commits himself to the consistency and to the balance and the perspective, the inner that leads to the outer, the integrity that is shared with others as a way of deepening it, both affecting the other. If you transmit that message by being Zahir B'Chanukah to your family, then that redresses the crisis of Lashkicham Tarasecha V'Lahavirim Michukei Ritzonecha and ensures a meaningful life of Torah mitzvos, notwithstanding crises. Indeed, that's what the mitzvah of Chanukah, Chaviva Hime'od, is all about. And therefore, on this 10th Yahrzeit, Tehi Zichra Baruch, we, her children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, should merit to continue to benefit from the inspiration that she was. Thank you very much.